Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's Bizarre Podcast.
I don't know how to do that.
My name's Mark, and I'm joined by that voice, Miles. I don't know what he doesn't know how to do.
Hey.
Okay.
How to turn off the noise canceling.
It's fine. We don't need to hear every sound you make. We're also joined by Jackie. Hello, Jackie.
Hey.
How's it going, you guys? What's up, besides not knowing how Discord works?
Hey, what's up?
I found a funny Reddit called Bone Apple Tea.
Oh, is it just people who mispronounce stuff?
Yeah, right.
Like a blessing in the skies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very good. This is a linguistics podcast, mostly about the anime JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which we finished covering last year. We're all caught up. They'll probably never make another season. It's all over. We're screwed. But while we wait to see what happens with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, we are watching other anime that people recommend, or we heard was cool, or people on Patreon pay us money to watch. And this week, we're just revisiting something that we found intriguing. We're talking about episodes 4, 5, and 6 of Paranoia Agent, which is on Crunchyroll. It's from the aughts. What do you call them, Miles? The naughty oddies?
I just say the naughty aughts.
The naughty aughts.
But naughty oddies is good, too.
I like naughty oddies way better.
Okay. Naughty aughts almost
naughty,
sounds
oddy,
like...
Naughty, oddy, 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 oddy.
Almost sounds like horny astronauts or something. The naughty aughts. You know?
What's that Outkast album? Spotty Adelopolis?
I only know Southern Playa, whatever the hell, Cadillac.
No one acknowledged my Megan Thee Stallion reference just now.
It rang a bell, but I was also trying to talk, and so I was like, I'm sorry, Mark.
I've never listened to Megan Thee Stallion.
Well, she has a song that's not naughty, oddy, 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 oddy. It's body, oddy, 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 oddy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She seems skilled, but I don't sit and listen to her.
She's great.
Before we get into these three episodes of Paranoia Agent, we should first check out more episodes of email. We should read email messages that were sent to JoJo's Bizarre Pod.
You sound like you're like being forced to read emails at gunpoint.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am. Okay. Everyone can see the beads of sweat pouring down my face. Yeah, so again, if you send a message to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com, we'll probably read it on the podcast. This week, we just have one email from Chad, and it goes like this. Subject line is molto, molto paranoia. I don't know if that's how you say that in Italian, but molto paranoia.
Molto.
Molto. No, I mean, I don't know if paranoia is an Italian word. It might be. Aloha, JJB Pod Ohana. Here are some voice connections for episodes 4 through 6 of Paranoia Agent. Yakuza lackey Shunsuke Makabe is voiced by Keiji Fujiwara, who also voiced literally hot-blooded Part 2 Pillar Man ACDC. The old homeless woman is voiced by Hisako Kyoda, who doesn't have any JoJo connections, but she did also voice the grandmother of the main character from the Memories episode Stink Bomb, and she was the Japanese dub voice for Animaniacs character Slappy Squirrel.
Nice.
Troubled young woman and eventual shonen bat victim Taiko Hirukawa is voiced by Nana Mizuki, who also voiced Erina Pendleton in the Lost Phantom Blood movie. Well, I hope everyone is doing well and staying safe. Mahalo, Chad. P.S. Since all the show hosts are parents now, what's an anime you've given even just a little thought to maybe one day hopefully watching with your child? Miles, you have watched anime with your kid, haven't you?
Yeah, I watched a bunch of the Ghibli with him, but now he says he's scared of them, so we don't watch them anymore.
Do you have any idea how that came to be?
No. I mean, some of them are a little scary.
Spirited Away is a little freaky at times.
Yeah.
I didn't show him that one. I've shown him Ponyo.
Mm. Oh, Ponyo's good.
And... one I definitely should not have shown him is Porco Rosso.
Yeah.
There's gun violence.
That's for adults.
There's fist violence, gun violence. Like, yeah.
Yeah. But he really likes, like, when he sees a picture of Porco Rosso, he goes, oh, it's Porco Rosso. And he likes, like, playing with planes now.
Oh, okay.
So cute.
But Ponyo, he's just, like, totally not into it all.
Wow.
Like, he's, like, freaked out by it.
Mm.
He's like, who gives a shit about a fish?
I think it's all the Uggo. Yeah, it's the gross fish at the beginning.
Oh, I forgot about those. I think Kiki's delivery service is probably safe.
That's the main one I'm, like, really excited about her watching.
About our kid watching.
Our kid.
Yeah.
That's who I was referring to when I said her.
I know. I was like, what a sudden shift.
Yes. I don't know. Sailor Moon.
Hmm.
That'll be fun. That's it.
Any first signs of teenage angst, I'm going to be like, we have to watch Evangelion right
no.
now.
No. You can't watch Evangelion with your kid. They have to watch that.
No, I'm going
to
be like, see, I would never force you to get in a robot. I would never use your mom's soul for nefarious purposes. I would never do that. Look how good I am. That's going to be me.
Just pause the anime and just be like, look at how much of a better father I am than this asshole.
I'll just be like crying during the later stretches of Eva, and our daughter is like, Dad, you're such a pussy.
I think we could watch Cowboy Bebop with our kid. That's like a cool show.
Yeah, at a certain point, because it's also like kind of horny.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking like a teenager or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a cool teenager kid.
Like a Mushroom Samba.
Our kid might not even like anime, you know?
Everyone likes anime now.
Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, Miles just posted an article from Polygon that shows that, like, Gen Z is, like, twice as into anime as our generation.
Mm, and our kids aren't even Gen Z. They're
Gen Alpha.
Gen Alpha.
Yeah, but maybe they'll reject, you know, how teens rebel against their parents.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm, yeah, maybe.
Like, oh, fuck anime. I like Friends.
That's true. Maybe our kids will be like snobby anime fans and they'll only watch stuff from the 70s and 80s and be like, God, it was so much better. What's all this 90s garbage? They'll be doing
that.
The return meme, you know, where the U is a V and it's like
they'll
Latin.
Only watch hentai.
Oh. Well, that's not rebelling much from their parents. At a certain age. Yeah, I don't know what else I can think of. I think Hinamatsuri might only be funny when you have some adult life under your belt, but that's a funny one. Yeah, stuff. Those are all my
probably
ideas.
Probably like whatever is good at that, like and new at that time will be fun to watch with them or whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
That's true.
And I'll probably just be like, oh, what are you into? I'm just gonna like watch something with you.
And Jackie,
you know?
Anything that you like have shown disinterest in, then I could be like, let's watch that together.
Why?
Because our kid will just be like happy to watch TV and maybe she'll like the show that I like that you don't like, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And we'll just have an excuse to watch the 80th Gundam series or something.
Oh yeah, if you want to watch Gundam with our kid, that's fine.
Okay.
It could be a bonding experience.
Yeah.
You know?
We could also watch James Bond.
Yeah.
That'd be a bonding.
You can absolutely watch James Bond without me. That's fine.
There's great James Bond movies, Jackie.
Yeah. And then I'll watch like Sailor Moon or something without you.
All right. Fine.
Yeah.
Thanks for writing, Chad.
Like
always
Degrassi
appreciate
or something like some teen. I want to put on like fucking like teen shows like that and just be like, what would you do in this situation? And just like help them think through those things so that when they happen, they have an idea of what they should do or something. I don't know. Anyway.
You feel free to do that. I'm not. I'm only going to watch stuff where I'm like, don't do any of this. It's just cool to look at. Don't do this.
Well, I'll also say don't do this, but it'll be like, yeah, I don't know. Stuff.
I'm just going to pause movies and say, what do you think of the mise-en-scene happening in this shot? Let's just force all of my dreams on our child. Anyway,
that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
our kid's gonna get to an age where we don't get to be like, oh, let's, you know, like we're lucky if she'll want to watch anything with us.
Yeah,
that's why I think like I'm just betting on like, okay, what are you into? What's the like Pretty Little Liars equivalent of like, you know, 2035 or whatever, and I'll watch that with you.
Who knows what that'll be? We can't predict it. Again, that was an email sent to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. Folks, we have a Patreon. I'm just going to tell you about real quick. No, don't shut off the episode. Wait, please. If you go to patreon.com/jjbpod, you can support the show for as little as $1 a month. That gets you access to our Patreon feed, which includes Miles's almost weekly newsletter called Was That a Reference To? Some extra deleted audio that is too long or off topic from the main podcast feed goes up there, and some other stuff, some thoughts about anime that we watched years ago, various audiovisual projects. For $3 a month, you get that same benefit, and we will also thank you by name, by your username, on the podcast, which we'll do in just a second, because we still, despite it not being the best way to solicit and redeem this benefit, we still have the $15 Boss Us Around tier, where for 1 month, if you give us $15, we will do an episode on the anime of your choosing. And who knows, if maybe we'll like it and keep watching it, but maybe we won't. But yeah, we'll get an episode, usually over an hour. I think we've always gone over an hour when it's a Patreon pick. I hope I'm not wrong. About your anime, so it can be a hidden gem. Even if it's hard to track down, we can track it down.
How do you do that?
I know a guy. What'd you just go looking for, Miles? You just looked off at the ceiling. Are you fighting a sneeze?
Somebody who's upstairs is like jumping up and down or some shit.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing a weird ad lib after I mentioned nothing about piracy. Let's say thank yous.
Thank you.
Our Patreon patrons.
So thank you, and Chad.
Colin.
Shungun.
Hentai Homie.
I love JoJo Uwu.
Daniel.
Dalton.
Soliloquy.
Kasun.
Lord Zendar.
Jumbo.
Katie.
Bloof.
Kenny.
Mirror Man.
The stand user formerly known as Austin.
Tim.
Martin.
Aquosus.
Christian.
And Chad.
And the real Chad.
Also Chad.
Actual Chad.
Yeah. In addition, Chad. And
the first and Chad was someone else who's not Chad.
Yes. Shout out to our latest Patreon supporter who made their name and Chad. Unfortunately, are the way we sort this list, we were not able to get you at the end of the list. But maybe one day.
We could reverse sort, but we chose not to.
We chose not. I mean, Miles, you voiced it perfectly. It almost sounded like we just, like, yeah, King Crimson the whole list.
Just like everyone else stopped Patreoning, and all that was left is Chad.
All that remains is Chad, yeah.
That was a good JoJo's reference.
Good
Thanks.
Job,
Have
Mark.
You seen much of that show?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've seen all of it.
Oh, ho, ho. That's so much. You know?
It's been a while, though.
It's
been like almost a year since we watched JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
It's been 9 months.
I think we should find a way to watch more JoJo's somehow. Like, maybe we can rewatch a show, like one of the seasons, but like backwards.
Oh, that sounds like torture.
So we watch from the end and then go all the way to the beginning.
We do
and
still
then talk
have,
about talk about it as if it was like that's what happened.
I don't want to do that. That makes my head hurt already. We could watch. We do also have more live action Rohan to watch, and they did a Rohan at the Louvre movie. I don't know if it's available for home watching, but I feel like it got mediocre reviews. I don't know if people loved it.
Well, we're the authority, okay?
That's true. If there's any linguistic jokes or cultural Japanese jokes, we're still the experts on if it's good or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we watched more Paranoia Agent. I think that our impression of it when we last spoke on it was that it was intriguing. It felt very Satoshi Kon.
Mm-hmm.
With like reality sometimes blurring with unreality. It seemed like people who got hit with the bat were relieved of some pressure that was building on them. And then we land here at episode 4, where what happens, Jackie?
So I had to remind myself what this show is about. And so I looked at my old notes and I then wrote down my summary. My takeaway from the previous 3 episodes was, okay, so that old man knows something. What is he writing? I just decided from rereading my notes, I was like, all the victims have some kind of personality disorder. Like, it seemed like one of them has the girl who talks to her stuffed animal has something going on, like schizophrenia or something. The little boy who gets accused of being Bat Boy is a narcissist, and there's one that obviously has multiple personality disorder. The boy who's accused of being Bat Boy.
Like
everybody in school thinks he is, but he's just like a...
Oh, Ichi.
He's just like the perfect boy. Yeah, Ichi. He's a narcissist.
I'm perfect. I do my homework.
Yeah. Was that kid's name Nathan?
What?
In you're talking about Wonder Chosen, right? That was a quote from Wonder Chosen.
Yeah. Oh, his name is Tyler.
Tyler. Yeah.
We had a patron called Tyler, and sometimes I would go, Tyler.
Tyler.
I don't know. How many people knew?
Tyler.
I'm good. I do my homework.
Write in if you knew.
Write in if you're the child actor who was Tyler on Wonder Chosen.
Ooh, we should get him as a guest on the pod.
Just be like, remember that show that our audience is too young to have seen?
Let's see. So I wrote down, girl with a clown face is the next victim. Bat Boy hits a girl with a clown face. We saw that.
Yeah,
happen.
They like see a girl laying in the street and she has a clown face. And I wrote, is this the work of the jokester?
The jokester?
Yeah.
So in the last 3 episodes, the very last thing we saw in episode 3 was that Bat Boy was caught, or that's what people were saying. Oh, they caught him. Mm. And so this episode focuses on this cop who is corrupt. He works with the mafia. He seems to be he has some kind of like daddy fetish because he hires prostitutes and he asks them to call him daddy and stuff.
Very matter of factly, like she calls him something and he grabs her shoulders and is like, no, call me daddy.
Yeah, he's gross. But he owes the mafia dudes money and like they intimidate him. So they're like, he owes 1 million yen, then it goes up to 2 million yen, then later it goes up to 5 million yen. And like 1 million yen is $10,000 roughly.
So, yeah, roughly.
So then up to 2 million, so that's 20K, and then 5 million, that's 50K, you know, that he owed. So he starts, robbing people. He robs a little old lady. He wears this pink mask.
It's like a ski mask?
Yeah, to rob people.
Or is it a luchador mask?
It was a luchador mask.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. Also this guy is really into this manga.
Yeah, he keeps seeing it. Otoko no Michi, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in that manga there's like a hero, but he's not a hero. He's a piece of shit that's like robbing people, but he kind of feels like, I guess he has to do it because he owes them money.
And he's a family. He's trying to protect his family. So he probably thinks anything he does is good.
Because
he keeps saying he's a family guy. And then he sings, when all you see in movies is sex and TV. Sex and TV. Do you see sex and TV in movies? It's been a while since I saw that show. Family Man.
Family Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Relative dude.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that show still on?
I think it is.
It's definitely reruns. Gotta be reruns, but I don't know if they still make new ups.
Is an animated sitcom. It looks like it's still going.
It has spinoffs and stuff. So one of the, I don't know, the guy who keeps intimidating him and asking him for more and more money gives him a pill. We don't know what's in it, but it like is supposed to help him with his courage. That's when he like breaks into this couple's house, into like this house, And he, I don't know what he does. He like ties them up or something. And then their daughter comes home. Oh, right, right. He's going to rob them. And they're like, no, don't. It's money that we've been saving for 20 years. And it's like, oh my God, that sucks. He never gets caught doing this. So he does just give all this money to the mafia people, I guess, to the Yakuza, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, cops know how to do stuff without getting caught.
They've been saving for 20 years.
Well,
that sucks.
Throughout these 20 years, no one has told them about banks?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think in bank. Japan, people are reluctant to do that because for a long time there was deflation.
Mm.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so these people have a teen daughter as well, and she comes home, and he tells her to call him daddy, and I don't know what am I supposed to assume something happened there, because I'm like, what does he do to her? Because then it cuts to like the next scene, and he is like, somebody stop me, and he feels guilty about what he's been doing, but also like, did he do anything to that little girl? I don't know.
I don't think he did. But
okay. But he does want her to call him daddy. It is ambiguous.
Yeah. Like, I think it's gross and crappy enough that he...
Yeah. Maybe it was the pills that made... Whatever they gave him maybe made him, I don't know, kind of remove his filter. And so he said something gross. Yeah, so he's like kind of freaking out outside, like on the street, saying like, somebody stop me.
Mm.
It's a mask reference.
But he took the mask off to say that.
And wait, who did? Jim Carrey or this guy?
Masami.
Okay. Then Bat Boy comes along and hits him, and then like looks back and smiles, and this cop throws his shoe at the kid and like goes and like attacks him and takes him into custody. So he captures Bat Boy. So that's how we, you know, like in the previous episode, we found out that he was caught by somebody, but or you know, that he was in custody, and so now we know how that happened. And I immediately wrote down, could it be a copycat? I don't know why, but I was like, we don't know that that is the same one that's been doing all the other ones.
Way to sniff it out, Jackie.
So I'm like, well, how do you know? And so I said, it's a copycat.
It's also early for them, like,
yeah,
to have set up this mystery and then solve it, right? It's a 12, is it 12 episodes?
I think it's 13.
Yeah, and we're only on 4. They're not going to tell you the answer in episode 4.
I was also just like, if it was him, I was going to be like super disappointed, because I was like, you have all this stuff going on. It seems like there's a mystery to solve. And then it ends up being somebody that's like completely unrelated. Like, that's kind of boring. Like, I was hoping somebody had like a split personality situation that like, and they were actually Bat Boy, you know, either like the girl with the split personality or the girl. I thought it was the girl in the beginning was dressing up like Bat Boy. The first victim, I thought, or something.
Soggy?
I don't know. I thought one of the girls was
the illustrator.
I thought it was one of the girls. But anyway, episode 5 starts. The boy who was caught, his name is Makoto. Makoto, I guess. I don't know. Makoto. And he seems to be delusional. He seems to be Delulu. I don't know where I heard Delulu, but I kind of like it.
That's pretty good.
I don't know where I heard it. I heard it from somewhere. He seems to be Delulu, and he thinks that like he's living in some kind of fantasy RPG video game.
Some blog I was just reading said that it felt like a forerunner to isekai, to the genre.
Mm.
I think is a good point, that it's like, regular people are suddenly playing an RPG.
Mm.
Sorry. I thought the music was very Final Fantasy, but I guess that's like the...
Oh, yeah.
The poor Japanese RPG.
Well, actually, I think most Japanese people would tell you Dragon Quest, and there's some menus that look very much like Dragon Quest.
That makes
isekai
more sense.
Reference is from Hanaga Saita Yo, a WordPress blog. But yeah, it's they show some Dragon Quest menus. He gets a game over screen, but it seems like, at least in the universe of the show, this is like a tabletop pen and paper kind of RPG,
because
it has a huge guidebook, right?
Later on, they say it was a video game.
Oh, so maybe that's just a guidebook for the video game.
Like, yeah, I don't know where I saw that it was a video game, but I saw... Oh, right. Well, I think I thought the game over meant that it was a video game.
Yeah, I guess it could be. It could be like a Prima strategy guide.
Yeah.
Miles, what are you sipping on there? You got some wine?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Very classy glass you have there.
It's a regular water glass.
Oh. I thought you had like those big glasses that are unstemmed wine glasses, but no.
No. We have wine glasses, but they're too high up for my little arms.
Aw.
So we'll just have to leave them here when we move.
Yeah, they're just going to collect dust.
Yeah. Anyway, so this kid thinks he is the holy warrior and he must go fight. He is fighting something called Goma.
And, yeah, I only know Goma as the spider crab boss from Zelda. Which was my username when I was like...
Your username was Goma?
When I was like a middle school kid on forums.
What, your Goma?
Yes, that was me. And people would constantly ask me if I was a girl because Goma does lay eggs and have hatchlings. And I was like, shit.
I gotta pick a boy this time.
Get the bat out for this man.
The bat?
Hit me with a bat.
Oh, yeah. True. I don't have any
but
bats.
Make sure you get it on mic.
Okay. I'm not going to do it.
Don't hit me with a bat.
So he believes that the people that are possessed by Goma, they glow red, and he sees it, and that's how he chose his victims, which is kind of weird because a lot of them were related in some way.
Yes, they all kind of tie together.
Yeah, like all the people were somehow related. He kind of confesses to everything, and his confession matches up with the facts. But his confession is basically like, yeah, so this thing was a giant Goma and I slayed it, you know, but really he just like hit a regular person on the street with a baseball bat or whatever.
Yeah. And he claims that this evil spirit Goma caused these people to glow red. And
I said that.
See them. You did?
I did say that.
Oh, my bad.
That's how he chose his victims, was the red that he saw.
Right. But yeah, it's like the whole time he pictures himself as having a golden sword.
Mm-hmm.
And then he floats with like, what does he call them?
His face looks different in his fantasy than like
different.
The real life.
He has like magic boots that let him glide instead of rollerblades.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a helmet. He's like an RPG warrior.
Mm-hmm. And then also, meanwhile, you see everyone is identifying him. They're like, yep, that's the guy. That's the kid. He did it.
His story does line up except for one.
Yeah, the last one.
No.
Right? Oh, no. Which one?
Isn't it the first...
Oh, you're right.
The first lady, right? Soggy, the illustrator, that in his, like...
Oh, okay.
Parallel metaphors, like, RPG story, where he's like, I slayed this person and that monster. It's lining up with, like, the chubby kid from school and the sex worker who's got two personalities. But yeah, it somehow does not account for the night that... What's her name? Tsukino Sagi, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no. That's Sailor Moon's name, isn't it? Her name is something Sagi.
Mm-hmm.
But
the split personality person?
No, that's Harumi Chono. I'm saying the illustrator who carries around the little stuffed animal that she designed.
Tsukiko Sagi.
Tsukiko Sagi.
Yeah. So that's how episode 5 ends. And then in episode 6, we're back in the real world. They start questioning a little old lady who saw the whole thing. She saw the first incident.
How did they find this lady?
I don't know.
They just know about, like, I think they tried to talk to her in the first episode or the second episode. Or maybe they even did, but she's just a known person who lives in the area.
Is she the homeless lady or is that somebody else?
I think she's considered the homeless lady. I don't know if she's actually homeless, but
okay.
She has that, like, tent.
That sounds homeless.
Yeah, and so she gives us a little bit of background on herself and her granddaughter and stuff, and she says she wants to see her granddaughter, and she doesn't have a home to go back to. And, I don't know, as she's kind of telling her story, they realize that the first victim wasn't hit by anybody. She hit herself with the pipe.
That's Tsukiko.
Tsukiko hit herself.
Because, yeah, they at one point, the detective, I think his name's Keiji something, he grabs her and, like, shakes her violently. I did not like it. Because all of last episode, he was losing his mind, too, because the younger detective was going along with the RPG thing.
Yeah.
And the other detective.
Yeah, he pretended to be a bard. The younger detective pretended to be like a bard who was recording the story.
Yeah, the older detective at one point in that episode stops and sings Kagome Kagome. Did you guys hear that?
No, what is that?
It's Kagome Kagome is like a child's game in Japan where you sing that song, but reading the Wikipedia article on it, it seems unclear what it actually means because there's no punctuation, but it seems to refer to a caged bird about to be freed. But it's some game where one person's the oni and one person's the other thing. I don't know why he sings it. Maybe he feels like he's playing a child's game or something. But he's fed up in that episode. And in this one, when they're interrogating this homeless lady, he like shakes her really violently. And she's like, yeah, there was no one there that night. The night that Tsukiko Sagi was hit. And so they realize they have to confront her about it.
Yeah, they go to confront her about it.
I felt sad for that little old lady.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's a little girl, not a little girl, there's like a teen girl who, I don't remember what happens in the first half of her day, but she gets to her bedroom and she wants to leave. Does she take her dad's computer and she goes to leave like a message on his computer for his birthday? She changes the wallpaper. She changes the wallpaper to say like, happy birthday, daddy, or whatever. And then she looks and sees that I think it was in the recycle bin. It was like, it was going to be deleted, but it wasn't deleted. There were a bunch of still images from a hidden camera in her bedroom that was taking pictures of her undressing and stuff. And
yeah,
she freaks the fuck out and destroys like the bookshelf where it seems like that's where the hidden camera is, and she finds the hidden camera and
she breaks it with a stereo.
With a stereo?
Yeah, she goes ham because she like throws her bookshelf over.
Yeah.
And then picks up like a boombox and smashes it on the camera.
Yeah, she smashed. I didn't realize she smashed with a stereo.
I think so.
Yeah. And then she kind of runs away, and then her dad calls her on the phone. And what exactly happens to her that she gets
hurt? And her dad is Hirukawa, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, her dad's the cop, the corrupt cop.
The guy
cop.
Who's on fucking Adderall robbing people and shit. And he's worried about the new house that he bought being burned down because the mafia threatened to do that in episode 4. But yeah,
she collapses, and I don't know why. And then when she wakes up, she doesn't remember who her dad is.
So that's the thing. I saw this episode today, and then when I read the summary, it said that she was hit by Shonen Bat. And I had to rewind, and you see that when she's about to collapse, they're intercutting between her and the interrogation with Tsukiko. But there is it's like a very short shot of the Bat Boy lifting his bat up, getting ready to hit her. So she is hit by Shonen Bat Boy. He's back in the habit.
But he's in custody.
I don't think he is. I got the impression that they released him.
No.
After they interrogated him.
Well, he did commit the other crimes. He admitted to the other ones, and they couldn't have released him. You know, he did all the other bat attacks.
I guess that's true.
He did all the bat attacks except for the first one, right?
So he didn't directly confess. He
basically did.
He's delusional.
Yeah, and he was there. He hit everybody.
Yeah, I don't know.
And he definitely hit that cop at the end, you know, who caught him. So he's a menace to society and should be put on trial.
So is that cop.
Yeah, it's true.
But the first one, so the first victim who really wasn't a victim, she just like wanted to fake an attack on her.
She was a victim of workplace bullying.
Not even, just like writer's block.
No, people were dicks to her. She was being bullied at work.
Were? Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I...
Yeah, we get the impression that they like talk shit on her and stuff.
Oh, I thought it was just that like there was a lot of pressure on her because she hadn't come up with anything for the next thing.
It's that too, but they talk badly on her. I think even in episode 1, we know that.
Okay. So I don't know. They act like there isn't. I mean, they're like, she kind of made Batboy real, I guess, with her like pretending that there was a Batboy. She made him real.
Yeah, it's weird that she's the first incident.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, she made him real, and then the kid came and became like, I guess, a copycat. But does he even know that that's what he was doing? Like, I don't. It doesn't seem
he really knows
that he was being a copycat.
Because he's also crazy.
Yeah.
It's confusing, and I'm not even sure that this show is going to treat it like a mystery that needs to be solved, or if it's going to be a sort of like, I don't know. Who knows?
Anyway, the girl wakes up and she doesn't know who her dad is.
Yeah, and the reason why she's out on the bridge is this episode does it in out of order, because I think it shows her wandering the town first, and then we see that she discovers the hidden camera footage of herself. And when she collapses, we also see that the detectives were interrogating Tsukiko, and they were like, hey, there was no bat there, right? Like, you just hit yourself with this
pipe
that we found, and she just faints. Which is a good defense. If people are cornering you and forcing you to admit something, just go limp.
Yeah. She should have been like, I'm not going to speak to you without a lawyer.
Yeah. I don't know if you can do that in Japan, but I would try it anyway. I would yell diplomatic immunity as an American.
So that gross cop is really gross.
He is really gross.
Yeah, because he's...
Maybe it's a misunderstanding.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he was just selling her pictures. Maybe it wasn't for him to...
Oh, that was...
Maybe it wasn't for him to get off on, which is what I thought it was.
My vibe was that he was going to sell it or something, but I'm praying that it was supposed to be something else. That, I don't know.
Oh, I thought he was getting off on it. That's what I thought. But I was like, what's worse? But I guess it's worse.
His like daddy fetish, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. Exactly. Damn. I was hoping it was like he's just like an overbearing father and just wanted to make sure that she's like not doing drugs or something like that. But yeah, that is compounding with him like needing to be called father by prostitutes. Mm-hmm. It's not good.
Bad stuff.
And that
does he know that she saw that? Like, I think like
no,
I don't think he knows.
He
I don't
must,
think
so, if she destroyed the whole.
Like, oh, you're right.
He must know.
Yeah,
that she
destroyed
the camera.
She destroyed the camera.
But
yeah.
we don't know when this all happened. Though he could have been out and about doing his job, robbing people, and she's just been gone all day.
Oh, so no, he might
not
have.
Like
come
she's
home.
Been homeless for a while.
Oh, really?
Like, when we run into her, and like he. She gets a call from him while she's sitting on a park bench during that storm, and she goes like, I can't believe you'd call me. And I assume that was him like trying to make amends. Mm.
There you go.
So like maybe it's good and bad that she's forgotten who he is.
In some ways, I didn't like episode 5 because it felt like a recap episode. You know, like we weren't advancing with the plot. We were just having Bat Boy sort of recap things in an abstract way.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy, in particular, like when the old cop was sort of... The old cop at one point is saying to the younger cop, he's like, you know, we have to live in a violent world and a society that is sometimes bad, but blah, blah, blah. And the young cop, even though he's been role-playing with the suspect, he just goes, why are you speaking gibberish? To him, but drives him nuts. And a few times, just the way he speaks and the way he was so exasperated, I felt like he reminded me of Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. So I enjoyed that parallel. And I'm glad that towards the end, there was like the revelation of, oh, maybe, you know, Tsukiko, the first one, wasn't hit with a bat. And it is funny to think of it as an early isekai sort of deal.
Is Aqua Teen Hunger Force an isekai?
I don't think so. They've probably done that at some point. That show is still going.
No way.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, it went off for a while, but it 2 seasons, they just renamed the show for no reason.
Really?
Yeah. It was
takes
called
place
like,
in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, they're down by the Jersey Shore. They call like Aqua Teen something force or something like that. They just like changed 2 words of the title. It's probably insane.
Now I'm not going to be able to stop... Seeing that chief detective as Carl.
He really felt like that. I bet his accent translates perfectly to a New Jersey, New York Carl from ATHF accent. Yeah, I just was like, tabbing through reviews and stuff to see if I could find any other insight. And I just saw someone in a blog being like, the first four episodes feel kind of normal, but don't worry, it's going to get fucking crazy.
Okay.
So I feel like we still haven't quite hit that, but it is a little bit weird to think like, okay, well, Tsukiko is an unreliable narrator, but the Bat Boy she claims to have seen did exist. And some real weird pedophilia stuff happening.
She like manifested him.
He's a tulpa. Of. She tulpa'd him.
What does that mean, tulpa?
A tulpa is a person you create by thinking about him really hard.
Well, where does that come
she
from?
She has... Yeah, what does that come from?
I think it comes from some Eastern mysticism, but it got big with like fandom online where people thought that they could make their like pony personality, their like My Little Pony original characters come to life by thinking about them really hard.
Mm.
I think. I hope it's not real.
I mean, she has prior, like her... She is a person who creates characters.
That's true.
So maybe she made this Bat Boy come to life. Like she made her weird little stuffed toy come to life.
This all sounds like you figured out what the show's about. You yes. Solved the mystery, I think. Right. Her creation, the writer's block, like the story that she was writing is just Bat Boy, and like that's the thing that she created. She was trying to come up with something. Her stress created Bat Boy.
Huh. I like that idea.
Anyway, we don't have to keep watching because we already know how it ends.
Yeah, we got it.
Can I gotta hand it to you to Maniwa? No, to who's that bad cop? I forgot his name.
Hirukawa.
Hirukawa. I'll say one nice thing about him.
Uh-huh.
He stopped Bat Boy by throwing his shoe at him.
Yeah.
Was it? Incredible throw.
Yeah.
He was like that anti-Bush guy.
Yeah. Where was that in Iraq?
I don't remember, but I think that he like last year on Twitter was like, thank you everyone for remembering my shoe throw. Whatever. That shoe thing was frustrating because W dodged those shoes pretty well. I was like, damn.
He was you got it handed to him.
I did have to hand athletic. It to him on that. It was smooth.
One of the more athletic prezzies.
Yeah, that was what we needed at the time, huh? An athletic guy. Anyway, yeah, this show's cool. I would watch it more if we were to podcast about it. I guess I would watch it in my free time.
I want to finish it.
Okay. Yeah. So we're still not total Satoshi Kon experts. We still need to finish this. See Millennium Actress.
There's a lot of like parallels, like homeless people.
Yes.
People who see things.
Reality blurring.
Mm-hmm.
Doing drugs.
Yeah, all good stuff.
I did read...
I'm sad he's dead. He probably would have made a lot more good stuff.
It does really suck, considering he only really got started in like... I don't even know if his first movie was the late 90s. It may have been. But yeah, it's only like 20 years. Like, there's directors who've been going for like 40, 50.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
And death.
What?
Speaking of directors who've gone 40, 50, I watched Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh yeah, you said it was good, right? You said pee good.
It was pee good and real sad. It's like one of the most bummer movies I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I saw people were divided on some of the violence towards Native people. Some found it gratuitous. But knowing Scorsese and the other side, they feel like, no, you have to see how bad it was.
Mm.
But I can see why that would be Bumsville.
He's a big, like, look at how bad everything is guy.
He's grew up, like, very Catholic, I think. And that's part of, well, I guess a lot of strains of Christianity, right? That are like, you need to see everything that happened to Jesus so you understand. Mm-hmm. And they just traumatize you as children.
Yep. And now I feel guilty.
That's y'all's problem. I didn't have that.
There's no guiltiness in Judaism.
There's guilt in Judaism, but it's just like, why are you so not nice to your mother?
Mm.
Why don't you call your mother enough? And on that note, Jackie and I watched Bo is Afraid two nights ago, which is an excellent, insane movie. If you want something that's similarly like, hey, is this real? Is this a hallucination? And this is fucking insane and nice to look at a lot of the time. Watch Bo is Afraid, especially just the first, like, even if you don't finish it.
It's not an anime.
It's not an anime. It could be.
It could be an anime.
There's a lot of really beautiful animation in it, though. There's a huge midsection that's all, like, hand-drawn, hand-painted. But the first 20 to 30 minutes are like, what if everything you feared about living in a city was real at the same time? It's, like, very darkly funny. Oh. And that's Ari Aster, who did Midsommar and Hereditary.
Ugh.
Big fans of him.
Big fans. Killers of the Flower Moon is by Martin Scorsese, who made Boxcar Bertha, The Big Shave.
Support indie directors such as Martin Scorsese. And Ari Aster.
Stee Spee's Bizarre Adventure. And yeah. Do you guys want to talk about what we're watching next week?
I thought you were going to say what we're not watching. I was like,
let's talk about
watching?
What we're not watching. We're still not watching Pote Mayo.
Not watching JoJo's.
We're not watching JoJo's. next week, thanks to a Patreon patron, we are going to watch more Gundam. We are watching.
Yes.
We are watching the series that was the immediate sequel to.
When are we going
to
be done with Gundam?
00709. Never, Jackie.
No. I don't think it's possible, Jackie. I think they're making it at a faster rate than we are watching it.
We only watched the first couple of episodes, unless someone makes us watch more.
No, Jackie. We watched the three movies that summarize the complete first series.
Yes.
And now we are going to watch.
And we've watched multiple other series, too. I think we've watched Eighth MS Team.
Yep.
But we didn't finish other series.
Iron-Blooded Orphans.
Right? We just
G Gundam, which is funny, and we're going.
Is G Gundam the one that's my favorite, and it's supposed to be the worst?
Yes, it's all of our favorite. It's not supposed to be the worst. It's just not as serious,
it's not
and
Gundam.
So some people don't like that. Yeah, it's like Street Fighter.
Yeah.
But we're gonna watch the first few episodes of Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam. It's a 1985 anime, so it's a few years after the original, but it's still got Amuro Ray and Char Aznable.
Oh, we know those people. I remember
and,
that.
And I'm pretty sure it does anyway. I'm like, now I'm starting to, wait a minute. Wait, no, it's told through the viewpoint of so-and-so. Well, I'm pretty sure the other two characters, the main ones from 79, I think they show up. It's got big robots, baby. We can just spend hours talking about which big robot was coolest. Floating around in space, and Jackie will be ever present.
I don't care.
Who cares?
I don't care about robots.
And we're going to talk about guitar tunings.
No.
When Metallica was good.
That I don't really care.
All sorts of.
Did you like the robots in Pluto, Jackie? Or did you like them because they weren't big?
What are even the robots in Pluto?
Like half the characters.
They're all robots.
But they're androids. They're not really robots. They're like people. I like them because they're like people. You know, they're not like a kid inside a thing in a machine, in a vehicle. I don't like vehicles. You know,
okay.
Yeah. I don't really care.
Wait a minute.
But yeah, Mark, the topic you were missing is a hot dog, a sandwich, because that's another thing that I'm just like,
That is fair to say it's boring.
I just like as soon as someone asks that question, I'm just like,
hey, Jackie.
I'm going to jump off a roof.
Jackie, Mark, does pineapple go on pizza?
That one's not as bad, but
if
I also
want.
Don't care.
Yeah, if you want is the right answer,
right?
Miles. Yeah. Be an adult. Miles, can I ask you something?
Up, Mark?
Can you name a song or anything by Neil Sedaka?
No, I don't think so.
Apparently for Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam, he's an American pop singer, and I'm pretty sure he's like really influential in the 60s and stuff. He wrote a bunch of doo-wop. Let's see. Oh, love will keep us together. Ah.
That's cool.
He continues to perform at 84.
Breaking up is hard to do.
Is he in Gundam? Does he have a voice?
He wrote the two openings and the one ending. He wrote two openings and one ending, apparently.
What's the show? This show's from 85, you said?
Yeah, 85.
Cool.
So this is really the problem with Gundam is they made so much of it before we were even born.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll never catch up.
Yeah. Oh, the Western release had the opening replaced with an orchestral piece. So we'll listen to both openings when we get there on the pod. But yeah, we'll be doing episodes 1 through 3 of Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam. I don't know why Zeta comes before the word Gundam in its title, but maybe we'll find out. We'll talk about it then. If you have a show you want to make us watch, patreon.com/JJBpod is how to do it. If you have small thoughts, you can tweet to us. We are at JJBpod. We have a Discord for medium-sized thoughts. You can join that by finding the invite link in the description of this podcast episode, and for long-form thoughts.
You can send your big thoughts to our email.
Yes, jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com, or a handwritten letter, and just pray it reaches us using carrier pigeon. Anyway, we'll talk to you next week. Insert clever sign-off note here. Bye.
Baba Booey.